Okay, welcome to the July 9th 5G and PNF use case team meeting. Vimal and I were just on the TSC call, and so that's probably something we should discuss, the topic that was raised about the non-functional requirement support, which impacts our delivery for all of the use cases. It'll affect all 5G and PNF use cases. It's a reasonable ask, I feel. Let me just update the table of contents here. Today's July 9th. Okay. okay. So let me summarize the point from the TSC. So the TSC was going over the release status. So they have a table of basically where they're going over the release status, and then we're going through also impacts by component. So I'll put this in the chat so people can follow along. This is the release page. And if you go to the top of this page, you'll also see other ways you can look at this information. So if you go to the top, click on this, and then click on view by component, you'll see that basically there's also a view where you can see the impacts by component, where they're green or yellow or not supported and so forth. So they were going over these sort of open points, basically. So that was the email that I was just typing off to Powell. So for CMPV2, the AF project doesn't have a PTL. And so because of that, there might not be any new software in R7, even if somebody else can contribute the work. Which means that this CMPV2 stuff may not be able to be delivered. I'm not sure. I need to get confirmation from the development team here. There's a test only essentially linkage here because of the delivery of CMPV2 improves the plug and play security, which of course wouldn't be there without CMPV2, but that doesn't mean that use case will break. It just means it won't have that enhancement to it. So the big thing though, the big row was basically this SO work for the plug and play was blocked or marked yellow, because if you look at the plug and play JIRA, this is the plug and play JIRA, it has an associated task of SO 2981. And the TSC is basically asking that if you're contributing to something, that you also contribute to the non-functional requirements, which I think is a completely reasonable ask, because otherwise essentially nobody does the non-functional requirements and things fall way behind in ONAP. So you see there's a whole bunch of non-functional requirements here. I'll put this in the link as well in the chat so you can follow along. And Sushu was saying he needs help with this completing the update from Java version 8 to a version 11, which of course you can imagine is a big task and impacts a whole bunch of stuff. So basically he had said that, well, this is being held up, this is marked yellow because the team hasn't committed yet to help out with this NFR, non-functional requirement. And then I was saying the problem though is that basically this non-functional requirement is essentially a blocker for 2098, even though the actual tasks aren't related whatsoever. So I think, I shouldn't have clicked on that. So I think the problem with tracking those two things together in one box here is that you're misrepresenting at the high level what the actual task is, right? So 2981's task has nothing to do with that non-functional requirement whatsoever. So it would be completely misrepresented to say 2981 is dependent on that task in any real way. It's just a TSC request to say, you should also contribute to the NFR, which is fine. I'm not disputing that whatsoever. But that other non-functional task is also being tracked by a different thing in the SO universe. So if we look at the SO dashboard, so this is the SO dashboard, basically, and this 2981 is the task here that's being... requested. And I don't know if there's the actual non-functional requirement. Is there a, here we go. Okay. So the Java 11 stuff, I assume, is in here. Okay, REQ351. So let me see. So it's kind of a complex problem, and it's really essentially a project management problem to solve, but it also makes it odd for us to working the use cases to figure out how to do this. So the non-functional associated contribution is this REQ 351. Okay, I'll stop there for a second to see if other people have thoughts here. So any comments? Both Amal and I were on the call, so it was a long discussion about this. And it's kind of hard to describe too, right? So basically for plug and play, the basic SO work is this 2981, the plug and play SO building block work. However, all companies are being asked, if you're contributing to a particular component, you also need to help out with the non-functional requirements, which of course may not necessarily have anything to do with your use case, but it's just the general improvement of ONAP. And Catherine made the point, the project manager of ONAP sort of made the point that, you know, we're falling behind in a lot of these things because people are just focused on doing what they want to do and not necessarily making the key things of the infrastructure of ONAP work. So the TSC is kind of saying you need to, if you're doing something, you need to also do this. And my point was that, well, somehow you need to reflect that in this higher level thing if you're going to start marking things yellow and start blocking tasks or use cases because of that particular thing. Somehow that has to be represented as well. And my suggestion was essentially you're trying to track two states of things, right? So you're basically trying to track the base functionality and the associated non-functional requirement functionality in one bit, if you will. But it requires two bits of information, right? 0-0 meaning neither are supported, 1-1 meaning both are supported, and 0-1 or 1-0 meaning either the base or the non-functional thing is supported, right? So so basically we got an action item to work with Dave McBride to figure it out, to say, go figure it out. Earlier in the call, I had reached out to Marge because the ONAP 3GPP ORAN alignment standards define notification over vest. This was also marked as a problem. And then I think they went to this 327 REQ to confirm. And it was marked a problem, meaning that it wasn't supported or on the planning page or something of the VNF requirements thing. And they looked at something or other and they said, oh, it's fine. And I was trying to resolve the other issue. And I think it was maybe this one, RFQ. Anyway, so they looked at some status thing of something and saw that basically that, you know, all the PTLs need to come back and say, I support this. That's how this becomes green, okay? Or like I said earlier, there's no AF PTL. So like that these are all marked problematic because there's no AF anything in R7. And if anything marks you have some work in AF, that's an automatic red flag. But anyway, they came back and said, this is okay. And Vimal was there too. I don't know if Vimal, you noticed that as well, right?
Yeah, they said it's okay.
Yeah. So anyway, do you want to add anything to what I said? Does that seem right?
No, there was a good summary, yeah. And March is on, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Right, okay. What happened? I just zoomed out and lost the link. Okay. Okay. Huh. Okay, I don't know. I often can't find Marge for some reason. Okay, let's see. So that's that, and you can see I've got a bazillion windows open because of the TSC things we need to do here. So Let me see. There was another point about the pre-onboarding onboarding, which was, I got to shrink down again to see everything, which was this box here, okay? So basically, the VNF SDK of the pre-onboarding task for 319, which is here. For the VNF SDK task, I don't know why they kept asking, but like they wanted to know, is this supported? And I had responded already that this is supported. And so Damien, but I think what had happened was that it didn't show up on the task dashboard of the project itself. So what I did was I put a link to the task dashboard of VNF SDK here. Okay, this VNF SDK 609, which is this sort of, I guess, task dashboard thing. So in any case, I think we have an action item to make sure that whatever they need here is in good shape. And Damien is aware of that too. He was also on the call too. So that needs to be done. Okay. Any questions on any of that? All right. Let me start closing some things here. Is it way too many windows open? Okay, so this is the SO dashboard, which I'm going to put into the, which I think I already put into the plug and play. I'm going to do that so I don't lose this link. It can sometimes be hard to find stuff in ONAP, so I always cross-link stuff so that I can find it if it's remotely related to something that I need to work. Okay, so another thing I think it's important to note, let me just go to the main use case portal page here. So one thing that the modeling team has asked of us for all of those things that impact modeling, okay, so if you go down to the main table, that would mean the 5G service use case, the standard defined harmonization use case, maybe the A1 adapter and then network slicing, plug and play, possibly CMPS. We've double checked with this. There's no impact here. Okay, that they add in the generic modeling template. Yeah, what happened? And let me show you that in a second as soon as I fix this. What's going on here? Okay, there it goes. Okay, so basically I have started to edit to some things. I might have got pulled off to do stuff, but let me see. I don't think this has it yet. Again, I'm just shutting off, closing some of these pages here. Okay, so again, from that link that I just put in the chat, you can get to everything. And I try to make a point to link to everything through this one page so everybody can just go to this page as a one-stop shop. So 5G service modeling, the ORAN A1 adapter extensions, plug and play, which I already have up. Yeah, I'll just add it to every page for you, the basic template, so you don't have to go rummaging for it. And CMPS is a POC, I don't think is gonna have modeling impact. So let me just skip, I think it's only just those three. Oh, and then network slicing too, okay. And the network slicing is here. Okay, so what the modeling team is asked to do is, let me just show you the thing here, use case process, okay. So this is the use case process way of working page that I'm working and leading, so you can go to it and put it in the chat. This basically describes, here's our process, here's how Here's the process to follow to do everything. I'm trying to make it useful so that when you need to do stuff like make the REQ ticket, you know, you have all the steps of how to do it, how to link to the architecture reviews and everything else. So we're, and then I'm reviewing the use case realization calls, and we're up to at the end of M3, I started working on the M4 text. Not quite done with it yet, but getting there. Okay, hopefully I'll review it probably next week. But anyway, the point is that one of the links for M0 is this generic information template, okay? So you basically need this to be filled out, and it's information that describes more of what the modeling team needs, and also just is good to have anyway. It just starts to get you to think about the information related to your use case from a modeling standpoint. So, you know, is there an information element that is impacted, the points of contact, your use cases, participating components, your JIRA, your modeling JIRA, a description of what you're doing modeling wise through any standards or industry activities, attributes, relationships, the people, who's consuming the data, who's using the data, who owns the data, and what are the swaggers or APIs or schemas that are impacted, and what is the status from a modeling standpoint? Have you gone and touched base with the modeling subcommittee, your schema definitions, and what's the prioritization within the release? I think I started filling this out for plug and play. Let me see if I can show you an example. Let's see. I know I... Let me see. Did I do it for this? That's interesting. I know I started filling it out for something. Huh. Whoa. Maybe I put it. Jeez. Okay, anyway, maybe I put it in another page. I swear I started doing this for the, oh, here it is. Okay, yeah. I linked it to something else. I think I created a subpage instead of link. Okay, so this is an example for plug and play. There's the geolocation modeling work that's being done. And basically, because it's something that happens during installation and commissioning, and I've been working closely with the modeling team for about the half year, basically, trying to develop this in collaboration with Jacqueline Bolak from Ericsson, with Andy Mayer from AT&T, with Tin Nguyen Phu from Nokia, and myself, and many others from the modeling team, but those are some of the major big names, and Kevin Skaggs before he retired. So basically, you just say for your information stuff, who's the contact? What are the related use cases? What are the main components that could be affected? What's your modeling JIRA work? And so the main thing that's happening here is that this new place object is being introduced, which is going to track the place information of a PNF. Okay, and that place information is actually that place information at ONAP, the model in ONAP will be influenced by a number of other standards, right? So if you go to the GB922 from the TM forum, you'll see a very developed model of that place. And at first I was arguing why call it place, but actually the reason why is because GB922 calls it place. And then the actual geolocation fields are in RFC6225 and et cetera. There's a lot of standards related things. So you can essentially see an example of this thing filled out, right? So, or mostly filled out, right? So basically with the type of information you need, who's originating it, who's using it, and so forth. So what I'm going to do instead of, I probably should have just incorporated in the base page instead of making a link, but this is my first one. So what I'm actually doing, this is a better example, is basically, I'm just gonna, let's see, there's only two other pages that need to be updated, so I'm just gonna update them for you guys. Let's see, not this one. Here. Yeah. And I'll let you guys fill it out, and you can just see basically Okay, so I already put it in the ORAN ONAP harmonization one. It's already on that page. You can just fill it out. And again, you can look at the plug and play one for some examples of what you need to do. And I just need to put it in the network slicing page here. Okay. And the 5G service model already has it. So let me just see if I can copy it. Yeah, come on. Why isn't it scrolling down? I think because I have it on the bottom of the page or something. Holy cats. Let me try a different way. I'm going to do this. Okay. Do it. My keyboard is faster. Okay. So now let me see. I can edit. Insert. Okay, good. All right. Let's check the headings. Heading one paragraph looks good. Update. Okay, so the other thing that became clear in the use case realization call, and I'll come back to that in a second, but I just want to make another high-level thing here, is the Etsy alignment stuff needs a page. So I'm just going to make a page for them. Oops. Yeah, it's not a 5G. Yeah. Okay. And this is being led by Binyung Wang and Fred Olivero from Verizon. Let me see. Create copy. Where's the template page? It should be here. This one, I think. Okay. Copy.
Ben, I'm just getting a little confused.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I'm kind of going fast, talking fast, and just because lots to talk about. Let me go. Let me just set this up in 1 second. I'll get back to you to try to unconfuse you. Okay. Okay. Just one millisecond here. Let me just do this before I forget, and then I'll link it, and then I'll come back to you. So 1 second. I just need to edit this. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, good. So how can I help? What's the...
So it looks like we have another requirement for information that has to be filled in that we didn't have before. And yeah. I'm trying to put my arms around what it is that we have to do. I mean, you were showing us a lot of examples and you were trying to do a lot of work for us, but I don't quite understand what is being asked. Sorry.
Yeah. So basically, let me see if I can describe it at a higher level. So to try to give you a bigger picture
and perhaps by when we have to do something.
Yeah. So let me, you got right. Okay. Let me just find the link here. Okay. Should be off this. Should probably have a direct link to it, but anyway, it's off of this here. Okay. So, you know, I go to the two modeling calls every week, and what they're trying to do in modeling is basically the team itself needs to understand how your project will impact the information model and your data model. Okay, so that's the basic high level thing that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So for all these various use cases have planned what that, they basically raised their hand and said, we have modeling work to do, you know, like.
Right. No, I thought we did, you know, I thought we indicated.
Yeah. So. So that's done. We're all good there. They understand that there is something happening, something going to be happening, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've been paying attention there, and I go, you know, every week, all of our use cases are good in that respect. The next step then is the modeling team, in order to be useful, in order to help, in order to engage the use cases, and in order to understand better, the next step is to essentially fill out this information, which basically says, which basically gets the teams that are working on the use cases to detail and think about and describe the information they need to work with. Now, in your case, it's very kind of well-defined, because, you know, your modeling impacts are all in the VESS, you know, it's in one specific area. There's already a full model behind it, and you're just extending the model. So hopefully this should be pretty straightforward for you. For other use cases, it's a lot, you know, like end-to-end slicing, it's a lot more open-ended, right? And you can understand why they were asking some of these things. So basically what this is the next step for the modeling team. You've raised your hand, you said, we have modeling stuff that has to happen. Modeling team has come back and said, okay, could you fill this out for us, please, so that we kind of understand what you're trying to do so you don't screw up the whole information model. I'll stop there for a second. Does that make sense so far?
Well, I just feel like we already did that. I guess in my case, I'm not sure what else I'd add.
You already did that. Where?
Well, no, I didn't fill out this table, but the information I think that's relevant was already in that JIRA. So I guess I'm kind of confused. So we have to.
No, but that JIRA is used for the project management tracking purposes, not by the modeling team.
There's just a lot of overhead simple change.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I feel for you. So this modeling 370, let me copy the link here just so you can quickly get to it from your page.
Okay, you know, so there's this table that's got to be filled out regardless of whether much of it is relevant. Okay.
Whoa, what's going on here? Oops. Oh, oops. Hold on. Sorry, I didn't get to your page. What the heck happened? Did I lose your page? Here it is. Okay. I did the wrong thing. So basically, you know, they do pay attention to this ticket, right? Well, this is the modeling
right.
Story ticket, right? And the modeling story ticket is just simply tracking the issue. So basically dashboards I think I had the dashboard up a second ago, but anyway, you get the idea. I can go to the dashboard in a millisecond.
That's okay. You don't have to go to the dashboard. That's okay.
But you get the idea. Like the dashboards and the modeling community, they track sort of the status of stuff through that JIRA ticket, right? So you can see how this still says open. So basically, the modeling team week to week, literally every week, they look at this table, right? And they go, like this past Monday, they were like, do things have, you know, not everything has a modeling ticket yet, right? You know, like this doesn't have a modeling ticket yet. They need to make a modeling ticket. So we need to contact Henry and Chuyi as an example, right? So I made sure all of the 5G stuff is in good shape. We do have modeling tickets, right? So so that is the main purpose of this ticket. Now the next step for them to engage your team, and I'm speaking generically, not you, Marge, and Vimal, but just the team working the use case, is, you know, they kind of need to understand the three big things here in this table are the triggers, the steps, and the post conditions, right? And then they said to fill out this whole other table too, which it's not that hard to fill out.
This is the 5G call.
You and I can meet, and we can, so Marge, if you want, you and I can meet, or, you know, happy to meet with them all too, to help you fill this stuff out. Cause I kind of know what they want, because they've talked about this on the modeling calls, right? They walk through how to fill this out. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that help? Okay.
It helps. I just didn't understand. It seemed in my case.
Oh, you're very far from the microphone. I can barely hear you.
I know, because my headset kind of.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. I can kind of still hear you. Okay, all right, okay. So you said something about your headset dying. So anyway, happy to meet with you to help you fill this out, you and Vimal. And again, if you want, you can just look at the PNF one that I've done and you get a sense of where is it? Just had it up a second ago, dang it. Here, okay. So you can kind of look and see like what they're looking at, right? So for you, there should be a similar sort of VESS model diagram you can put in here. Like you can already link to you have a modeling ticket already. I just had it up a second ago. Okay. Okay, so, you know, that field, for example, is super easy to fill out, and you just put your JIRA ticket in there. I'll just save you the time. Right. But anyway, I'll let you fill this other stuff out. But basically, you see the kind of stuff you need to do, and just I'll put the example in the chat. Where is it? Somewhere here. Those are upcoming use case realization calls. Here it is. Okay, let me just move it over. All right, so let me put it here. Okay, so I'm just going to open up Plug and Play again real quick. All right, this is the first one, so I put it on a separate page. I probably didn't need to do that. Okay, I think I just copied the template at that point and didn't think of putting it in an actual use case page, which later made more sense actually to do. And maybe I'll still incorporate later. Okay, so let me go back to here. Okay, so that's one big thing that kind of happened. Now, if we look at the actual release, I think it's also important for people to be aware of the release stuff happening. So let me go back to that real quick. Okay, so if you look at Guilin, there are dates to Guilin, and I think it's important to note that today is M1, right? And by M1, what needs to happen, right? And here we can go to this. We have working page, which should be in the chat already. If you look and see, everything is good at M0, I think, except for the 5G NRM, okay, use case. But I think all of our other use cases are in good shape for M0. And M1, by M1, you need to have gone through your architecture reviews should be done. Again, all but the 5G NRM is in good shape. You have to have the release planning, all your ducks in a row for that, which we are, I think. And there's the this checklist template, which I've pulled out the relevant things down here. Okay, so we'll go over those in a second. And then basically the main thing at M1 is that the projects themselves are aware that that there is work in their project, right? This impact by component thing I showed you earlier in the meeting was doing, right? So basically the TSC at M1, which is supposed to be today, is reviewing all of these X's. In other words, that particular component understands that there is impact, they accept it and so forth, right? If there wasn't a green, that means that there's some issue they need to talk through, okay? And then the data model work, which is of course what we spent the earlier part of this meeting talking about, because all the information that your use case needs to work with will feed into the information and data models. Okay. Now those aren't due at M1, but you lay the groundwork for it, right? Which is the tables that I just added to your use case pages. Test case and automation. This is something that's sort of in the checklist, but we often usually don't tackle it until kind of late. I would say. And then the clone, the REQ1 clone, everybody's done that. So I think we're in good shape there. So again, relevant links. So this is stuff from the template. I didn't make this text up. This is just stuff that's been around there. But basically, are all your JIRs created? Well, at least for all the major ones, I think we're in good shape. There are NRM, I think, might be behind. I didn't check the OSANA or NN network slicing, but I think they're in pretty good shape. So maybe not everything is there yet. But again, you'll see that if you do have a story, it should show up as an X here. So I think most of our projects should be in good shape there, but that's what that means. Okay, and are your stories entered in JIRA? Okay, and are they linked to your epics? In other words, the story JIRAs, they're linked to the epic JIRAs, which I think they are. The TSC prioritizes those. And then you need to estimate the amount of work that it takes. The release planning, again, that's this page I just showed you, this thing here, right? And do all the release components, have they been defined in these repositories, which again, we were talking about today. And and then the modeling team stuff, which again, I spent the earlier part of the meeting talking about. And then have you made your architecture reviews? And another thing is you need to make your PTLs aware and discuss with PTLs. So another key thing that kind of happens near M1 is that you want to have meetings with the PTLs, right? Like, it's not necessarily sufficient just to raise the story JIRA. You should also, in theory, you should go to the PTL meetings for if you have a PTL, if you have a component impact, that you go to the projects themselves and sort of raise your hand that there is impact, right? So to save people time, I've scheduled for the next four use case realization calls, and we had one yesterday with ANAI, right? So Bill Raheel, who's the new PTL of ANAI, and Jimmy Forsyth, the former PTL of ANAI, both were there, and they had a discussion with all the use case teams. So I'm slowly working through all of the major ones that have lots of impact. I'm not going to have a meeting for everybody, but I am going to have a meeting for the ones that have a lot of impact. So, oops, on the wrong page. So basically, we see ANAI has a lot of ones that are impacted. CCSDK, that's why I've asked Antimony. DCAE, that's why I've asked VJ. Modeling, so I'll schedule one with the modeling team again. But the other ones are only kind of twosies and threesies, except for maybe SDNC, which I believe is also Dantimony too. So kind of cover two birds with one stone, I think. And unfortunately, SSU has a conflict call, so we won't be able to do that. But you see, basically, the other ones are just pretty sparse. So I don't know that I need to dedicate a whole use case realization call to them. Unless somebody, you know, really wants to have the discussion, anybody can just raise an agenda item on the call. But those are the ones I'm planning at any rate. So you see the, where'd it go? So you see next week, DCAE VJ, DCAE call itself starts halfway through the realization call, but he will be there for the first half of the call. Yuri for he's a PTL as well. He's going to be talking about CDS along with one of the developers, and they're also simultaneously going to be giving a runtime demo of the CDS which is an extension of this demo they gave earlier in April for the CDS Designer UI client and customer building blocks and flexible workflow designer, which is pretty cool actually. And then the following week after that, CCSDK, Dantimony will also be talking with the use case teams. So I have those lined up, and I need to reach out, I think, to the modeling team. So I'll probably have the modeling team. They did talk with us early on, So there was a meeting with the modeling team on May 13th where they were talking about the, at that time though, it was more sort of planning, and now I think after we get deeper into the release, there a discussion with the modeling team will be more meaningful. So, okay. Any questions on that? All right. Okay, so let me go back to here. So let me touch base with the configuration and persistency really quickly. So what's happening there is it might be helpful just to show really quick the slides we presented at the DDF. So some pretty big changes are kind of happening there, and it's probably good to just get people on the same page here. Where is it? Here. Okay. I'm not going to go through all the slides in great detail. I just want to give you sort of some of the key highlights of what's happening. So this is the presentation that we gave at the DDF. So hopefully you're aware of the basic big picture, which is basically CMPS is a service. There's a database to it. It can take in the standards defined VES event and read in the, you know, the 3GPP configuration topic stuff and update itself. The controller and use and policy and stuff can read and write to it. ANEI can sync, and network element data can, which is the main purpose of the CMPS database, can update information to it. What's important to note is, actually, let me just go to the roadmap here. So basically, in R7, CMPS is just primarily going to be extending what they did in R4 and R5. Ericsson is driving a model-driven POC, and what they're doing is basically introducing sort of the groundwork for CMPS, which will hopefully turn into the CMPS as a standalone project, all the stuff that they're working on, right? So they're basically doing CMPS just kind of as a POC, or as much as they can. That way it's more accept, because you don't have to go through the same approvals as a POC as you do as a standalone project. And then once they do that, I think that'll give enough traction for it to be its own standalone project in Honolulu. And this is just additional functionality. So the basic idea of the POC is more or less the CMPS project. So to be able to take in a CSER package with model-driven schema, to be able to take in that standard defined VES event and pull off information from DMAP and update the database, to create a SPI service provider interface to access the database, and then to have an API swagger to perform, you know, basic CRUD functionality, you know, create, delete, update, and stuff, and for all the use cases, and then of course the ANEI synchronization of things XNFs that are deleted and added to the system. Okay, so pretty much developing CMPS just as a POC, and then hopefully that'll become the project software. So they are cloning the CCSDK as a base to start with, which makes sense because that's where all the code is right now. So, okay. So there was also some discussion about terminology and some confusion as well. So we're calling CMPS 1.0 as the R6 stuff, which is what's there right now. 1.1 meaning the extension of the R6 stuff and the support of and their support of R7, and then the model-driven POC stuff, and then CMPS 2.0 will be basically the CMPS as a standalone project. So anything in blue is basically the new standalone, working towards the new standalone project. The stuff in red is this extension of what's there now, the R6 CMPS stuff. Any questions? Okay. So Joanne and I have been trying to work through this, and Tony from Ericsson who are kind of leading this have been trying to get everybody on the same page and to answer questions and stuff. And we presented the TSC again and stuff. So we presented this POC and this roadmap and everything. So I think we're good there. All right. So there was a point from network slicing about the ANI team had brought up a point that they think there's more than just schema changes as indicated by the network slicing team, but they're not on the call here, so we can't discuss that. And Marge and Vimal, I think there was a point about going to DCAE and showing a less complex flow to back off on the schema broker. I think that happened.
Yes, that happened, I think.
Yes. Okay. And I think I saw an email that you're going back to VJ again to get approval or something.
This is a different thing. VJ asked us to show that it would be possible to map.
Okay.
So it was not that we were going to do a mapper, but that it would be possible to map.
Okay. A new item. Okay. to map the standard defined stuff to something else or
to the legacy, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know that it's a deliverable, so mm-hmm. it was a request to show feasibility.
Yeah, it's more like you can map the standard defined alarm to West event.
Right.
That's there.
Right.
So I won't call it legacy, but it's the to the West and.
Okay.
That way, if people have some system that are using the West standard format, yeah, you can do the mapping. You lose some right. translation, but it's doable.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So basically to make the two things compatible. So there's a, basically if you have software that's already using, that's expecting the original alarm vest event that you're not losing stuff. Okay, yeah, that makes sense to me. Okay. But that shouldn't be blocking your work, right? This is just a feasibility thing, right?
What I was asked to show was that it would be feasible to do it. Yes, it's not a deliverable for Guilin.
Okay. Okay, great. So I showed you the way of working stuff that we're working on, that I've been working with the use case teams. I don't know that we need to go over that here. It would take hours to go over all this, but I go on the use case realization call. We go over this. So if you're interested, you know, you can join that call and we review this text here. Let's see. The use case template I just talked about, and there's also, I should add in the new template here for the generic information model. If you think you have a modeling impact, fill out this generic information model template. Okay. Okay, the 5G NRM is... has kind of some issues. So Yao Guang Wang, I've reached out to, and I've helped as much as I kind of can. hopefully he's aware. He needs to present at the architecture subcommittee. So I spoke for him as best I could this past Tuesday and the previous Tuesday, but he really needs to present. So Chakar has said, he'll schedule it for next week, rescheduled for July 14th, which is when the architecture subcommittee meets on Tuesdays. So anyway, that 5G NRM use case has some issues, I think. Okay. So yesterday, Zoo at the ANEI team had, I'll just point out really quickly. Okay, let me just get to it. So yesterday at the ANEI use case realization call with the ANEI team, Bill Raheel, again, the PTL there, what we did was we kind of went over all of the use cases and their ANEI impact, right? So some things have tickets already. And what I did was I kind of cross-referenced the project planning page, which I think is this page here. Yep, I still have it up. And it, against what the actual teams told me they have, and sometimes they don't align, right, which points to some holes, right? So we kind of went over all of those, and we talked about impacts and how ANEI would be impacted and questions. So, and there was some discussion by Zoo with the software upgrade about the generic VNF object in ANEI is adding a software version attribute, which is optional string. And they were talking about some logistics of when in the, it's not in the latest Swagger file apparently, so it's not, the API isn't updated, it's in version 19, and I think they're targeting for V20. There were some open questions about the CNF orchestration that led by Sashu and Srinivasa and Lukash. And here's where people were kind of asking the Etsy alignment should have its own page. And then finally we ended on multi-tenancy, which is being led by Olivier from Bell Canada and Mike Elliott from MDocs. Yeah. Okay. So that's that. Again, we'll have similar sorts of discussions with the other PTLs and DCA next week, and Dan Timoney and Vijay and coming up. Okay. I don't think there's anything new for plug and play. I think everything is good there. We're presented at the Architecture Subcommittee, where there was just the open point about the interdependency with AF and the REQ 321 for the CMPV2, which hopefully will be resolved from Paweł Bieniuski from Nokia. Just a question about the interdependency AF not having a PTL. Will that affect the deliverable there? For the 5G service modeling, I have presented this a number of times, and I'm holding one-off meetings with the modeling subcommittee. And other use cases are using this type of information already. So I expect this to be, it's progressing, let's say. Okay. So there was some issue again with CMPV2, which hopefully resolved. You saw in the email started the call. Conferences coming up. We just finished the DDF. There would be, I think there's supposed to be a PlugFest in September. And
virtual, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. They were planning this, I think, this to actually be face-to-face, but I think this is going to be virtual now. And the bronze release, which I guess is the B releases of ORAN, does that make sense? Is that falling in that time frame? But I think it's supposed
to... I don't know. I mean, they talk a lot about Cherry, which is the third release, but maybe what they're going to do is they're going to test this maybe with bronze. I don't know. I don't know. Tracy would have to tell us that.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, there is planned to be another PlugFest. Originally, there was a panel discussion, which... in fact, I was invited to talk on, but that was going to be in April in Los Angeles, which of course didn't happen. And now I think that's slated for September. So, okay. That's kind of the end of everything, all of our items here. Is there anything that anybody wants to talk about that we didn't cover?
Ben, I have a question because I was just step out for
sure.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Still have CP, you know, CNPS for tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So as you know, we have Ericsson doing the pack, right? But the reality in the release, when we're talking about, I think the, from PSC perspective, it seems that we still need to deliver certain requirements. I thought the CNPS will be deliver the use case to support requirement. But from today's TSC meetings, you had a meeting early, it seems the CNPS will not deliver any use case requirement for this release?
So it should deliver the, so that's this sort of roadmap thing that I showed you maybe when you stepped out.
Yeah.
So we are expecting, so if we look at CNPS 1.0, which is basically what happened in R6, right? The CCSDK stuff. We do need to extend that so it works with, and then network slicing. Because the, because the original work was done by the SONOF PCI team, you'll see on their slides that they now have switched over to say CNPS. So of course, they are depending on the evolution of CNPS as well. But the schema updates and stuff that are needed by then a network slicing is the main use case that needs to be supported. So there is new work that has to extend the use case work there. And I think last week on the CNPS call, of course, we didn't get much of a chance to talk about this particular point, but we should probably talk about it tomorrow.
That's what I brought back to you, because last time we only talked about the the internal interface, which I raised question. This is kind of important one.
I agree. I think maybe we should start with this point
tomorrow
because I think it's a good point, Joanne.
Okay.
So let's do that. We'll start with that tomorrow. So basically, so people understand what the point is, there was a body of software that was delivered originally by the OFSON PCI use case team that now resides in CCSDK, SDNC, and that now needs to evolve enough to support the new additions and evolution of that use case and network slicing. Basically, that's the hole that Joanne is making sure that we got that covered, which I think is an important hole to make sure we have covered. And then the POC stuff, the people doing the POC, of course, they're going to be supporting and have the stuff they need for the A1 policy extension. And the Bell Canada POC is its own thing anyway. So I don't know that it has a heavy dependence on this body of software. So, okay.
Yeah, just make sure Tony Ericsson deliver the boss that you highlight in red, because
we can talk about that tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. Great.
Okay. So we're at time, guys. Any final thoughts before we close? Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody, then, for joining. Have a great day.
Stay
safe. All right. Bye.